Welcome to Shiloh Baptist Church. We are a place of peace where Jesus is Lord and people are lost. We exist to
employ.
Exalt.
Engage.
Experience. Equip.
Empower.
Good morning. This is Pastor Danielle Brown, Senior Pastor of the Shiloh Baptist Church here in Plainfield, New Jersey. We are absolutely elated that you are worshiping with us today. Listen, if you're here in the sanctuary, take a moment to check in on all of your social media pages so that everyone knows that you are here at the Place of Peace. If you're worshiping with us virtually, we're glad that you're here too. And we ask that you would take this moment to like this broadcast. Matter of fact, don't just like it, love this broadcast. Share this broadcast with all of your network and then tag all of your friends and family members in the comments, because we believe that something is going to happen here at the Place of Peace that will change your lives forever and for the better. 2022 is the year that we re-engage, reclaim, rebuild, reimagine, and renew. And we are so excited that you are on this journey with us. Prepare your hearts, prepare your minds for the Shiloh experience, which begins now.
Down city. He's a God that is so worthy of the praise. And so, God, we want to just thank you for life itself. We ask now, Lord God, that you would just be with those who are bereaved, be with those that are sick in their sick beds. But we know, Lord God, that you can raise them up because you got all power in your hand. And we want to just thank you, Lord God, for the nomination of the first Black Supreme Court justice, that we know that you're going to move situations out the way, Lord God, that she will be installed in the name of Jesus. We just praise and glorify your name, Lord God. And when it's all over at the end of the day, we want to say, Lord, we want to hear you say you've been faithful over a few things, and come on up and I will continue to bless you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let the people of God say amen. Amen. He's worthy, y'all. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Our God reigns with power and majesty. Hallelujah. Anybody came to bless the Lord on this morning? Hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Glad to be in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, why don't you sing this with us this morning? Say, my God reigns.
My God reigns.
Our God reigns.
Our God reigns.
Lord, you reign
above every name.
Come on, say, and my God reigns.
My God reigns.
Say, our God reigns.
Our God reigns.
Lord, you reign
above every name.
With power and majesty.
Power and majesty.
Dominion and authority. You reign. With power and majesty,
power and majesty,
dominion and authority, you reign. Yeah, say, my God reigns,
my God reigns.
Yes, our God reigns. the one that shuts the door. Come on and give him glory in this house today. Come on and lift him up in this place today. Come on and glorify him in this place today. Come on and lift him up in this place today. Lord, you reign. Lord, you reign. Yes, you reign. He has redeemed me from the hands of my enemy. Hallelujah. It is all about you. It is all about you, God. And we come to lift you up and make your name great in all of the earth. Father, we hallow your name in this place. Hallelujah. We speak well of you. Hallelujah.
Want to please your heart. I just want to worship you. I just want to see your face. I just want to love on you.
Everybody all over the building say, I just want to,
I just want to please your heart.
I just want to worship.
I just want to worship you.
I just want to see your face.
I just want to see.
I just want to see. I just want to see your heart.
just want to please your heart. I just want to worship you. To love on you.
Come on, all over the building, let's sing it together. I just want to please.
I just want to please your heart.
Thank you, God. I just want to worship you.
I just want to worship you.
I just want to see
Lord,
your face.
You've been so good to me.
I just want to see your face.
I just want to love on you, Jesus.
I just want to love on you.
Come on, love on them right where you are. I wish you would love on the Savior. Just love on him. Come on, fill this atmosphere with worship to our God in the beauty of his holiness. Love on him. Hallelujah. Bless his name. Bless his name. God, we love you. 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 Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you. We love you. We love you.
The spring edition of The Word for You Today is now available. You may purchase your copy today after service or during the week by calling the church office.
Join us every Monday through Friday at 6:30 a.m. for our prayer conference call. Please call 757-841-1415, access code 673-4192.
Join us every Tuesday for Bible study on Zoom and stream to our website, beginning at 11 a.m. with Deaconess Charlotte Banks, followed by Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. with Pastor Brown. All information will be posted on the church website. Shiloh family and friends have various ways to contribute tithes and offerings to Shiloh. Giving can be done through mail, through Zelle, by texting the word GIVE to 908-293-7376, giving online, using Givelify, PayPal, or Cash App using the cash tag Shiloh Plainfield. Celebrate the historic pastoral installation of Reverend Dr. Daniel L. Brown as the 10th pastor of the Shiloh Baptist Church from March 3rd through the 6th, beginning on Thursday at 7 p.m. with Reverend Dr. John R. Fazen Sr.
But I need you to settle in your spirit and get the revelation settled in your soul that because God has put his hands on you, because God has breathed the breath of life in you, and because God is still living and working through you, you are a masterpiece and you can live in peace based on that truth.
Friday at 7 p.m. with Dr. Gina Marcia Stewart.
You need to take a minute and cry. You need to go on and get it out your system. I can't get nobody to help me. You need to go on and cry and heave and holler. But when you get through crying, I can't hear nobody say, when you get through crying, you got to get up out of that black hole and start moving. You got to decide whether this is going to be a dead end or a new beginning. And when you decide it's going to be a new beginning, you got to get up and you got to press and you got to pursue and you got to fight. Sometimes you got to fight back. Tell yourself, sometimes you got to fight back. Oh, I don't know who I'm talking to anymore. here tonight, but some of us have lost our resolve to fight. But I stop by to tell you that every now and then you got to fight. You got to fight for your faith. You got to fight for your sanity. You got to fight for your resolve. You got to fight for your family. You got to fight for your children. Notice what the text said. The text said David fought them. It's in the text.
Saturday at 10 a.m. for the official service of installation with Bishop Donald Hilliard Jr.
He says, I believe the Bible in how my story ends. I'm not going to end like I feel I'm going to end. I'm going to end with victory. I'm going to end strong. I'm going to end in power. I'm going to end blessed. I'm going to end the overcomer. I'm going to end being the head and not the tail. You got to declare it over yourself.
And on Sunday at 9 a.m. with Reverend Dr. Cynthia L. Hale.
You used to walk in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Is that right? Even if you didn't say it out loud, you said it under your breath. And the expression on your face could tell. People could tell I'm being cussed out at this moment. So some of y'all are sneaky devils. You look all holy and sweet and put together sitting in the pews. Am I right about it, Martha? Hallelujah. Wouldn't hurt a flea, but under your breath. But we are all recipients of the unconditional love and acceptance of God. God has forgiven us. We have been completely and eternally rescued from the punishment we rightly deserve. We ought to be in hell right now, but God sent Jesus to rescue us. We didn't get what we deserved.
We can't wait to celebrate this joyous occasion with you. That's all for now, Shiloh. Enjoy the worship service.
Praise the Lord, Shiloh. Come on, can you put your hands together and give God praise for another day's journey? Hey, Natasha, it's good to see you. It's good to see all of you this morning. I am always excited to head to Shiloh because you never know what God is going to do in our midst on a Sunday morning, on any day around Shiloh is a good day to expect the unexpected, but to always expect great things. Is that all right? Is that all right? And you all look absolutely amazing in your colors representing your generations. Come on, put your hands together for your generations on this Generations Sunday. On this Generation Sunday, it is so awesome to be in the Lord's house. If you're visiting with us, would you please stand to your feet this morning? If you're visiting, please stand. Please stand, and our ushers are quickly coming to you now. Please remain standing. Hey, Bree, please remain standing because our ushers, we have a welcome packet for you, and our ushers are quickly making their way to you to give you that packet. But we just want to welcome you to the Shiloh Baptist Church. We are elated that you have decided to worship with us today, and we pray that today won't be your last day, but we also know that just a few moments with Shiloh will change your life forever. You will never be the same because you spend a few moments with us. Do I have any witnesses? If you're a witness, just wave your hand and say, I know that that's right, Pastor. And then those of you that are joining us online, it's roll call time, and so write in those comments. Let us know where you are worshiping from, where you are at. Let us know your name. Say, I'm here. You are worshiping with us from so many places. Shiloh family, we are reaching so many people virtually on a weekly basis, and it is just absolutely exciting. Did everyone get their gift baskets? Come on, ushers. They might need a little help getting them to you because we have so many visitors. How many of you know it's just a good thing that people want to come to your church and see what's happening, right? Just turn to somebody and say, it's going on at Shiloh. Matter of fact, say this. Here's some generational lingo. Say, it's lit over here at Shiloh. It's lit over here at 515 West 4th Street in Plainfield, New Jersey. Amen. Come on, just put your hands together one more time for our visitors. Our visitors, y'all look so good. I wish y'all could see Sister Suzanne in the balcony. Sister Suzanne has her boa, that red boa on, and she is fly. I feel underdressed today. I feel like I should have, because all of the silent generation, everybody in red, can y'all just stand up real quick? I need y'all to see these folks. Look at the silent generation. They didn't come to play games. They didn't come to play games with us on today. They said, listen, we're going to represent our generation, but we're going to show y'all how to dress. Matter of fact, Sister Loretta, is that Miss Loretta? Can you just walk up here so that they can see? Come on in and... Come on, Sister Loretta. Come on, walk across so they can see you. Come on, walk all the way across, because I want all the saints to see you. We got to get you on camera. The silent generation. Come on, put your hands together. I need somebody in blue. We need a baby boomer. Come on. I need somebody in blue to come and represent for the baby boomers. Come on, Elder. Well, all of the baby boomers, please stand. Everybody in blue. And we know what's next. That great Generation X. Come on, Brother Vincent, come and represent for Generation X. Just walk through. Everybody in black, please stand to your feet. Minister Alicia. Me and my Adidas. And of course, we can't forget the millennials. I'd like Wes and Christina Bailey to stand up. The millennials, they came in couples. Elder Jonathan, Sister Felicia, y'all come on, just let us see what the millennials look like. Come on, millennials. Since the millennials are looking all married and coordinated with their spouse. Come on, y'all walk across. All the millennials in the house, stand to your feet. Hey, millennials. All right. Generation Z. Where you at, Generation Z? Stand up, everybody in purple. Let's see, Andrew, represent for Generation Z. And now, last, but absolutely not least, Generation A. Where my babies at? Come on, y'all. Come on, make some noise for Generation A. All right, now just put your hands together for everyone. All right, Generation A, y'all sit down. Sit down now. But it's Generation Sunday at the Shiloh Baptist Church. And online, make sure you represent your generation. You can type it right there in the comments. We have not forgotten about you. But we are an intergenerational church. A multi-generational church, and a church where all generations are present and thriving and participating is a healthy church. Wave your hand if you believe that Shiloh is a healthy church. You look pretty healthy to me today, and I'm so glad that you are all here. Listen, I want you to know that although the state of New Jersey will be next week lifting the statewide mask mandate at the Shiloh Baptist Church, we will continue with our mask mandate for our parishioners and for anyone that comes in. And we ask that you would just continue to bear with us. I'll go ahead and tell you that we will continue with our mask mandate until for a lot of reasons. I realized the other day, Deacon Hand, that I have not smelled anybody's bad breath in about 2 years. So even post-pandemic, we may just stick with the mask mandate. I'm kidding. It's all right to laugh. I wouldn't go to a church I can't laugh at. But even if I did, I'm going to laugh anyway. That's just me. That's the kind of pastor Shiloh has. But we also need, so I just want to let you all know that even though that lifts, we will still be asking all of our worshipers to wear masks because we want to keep people safe. And even though they say, well, it's okay to start taking your mask off when we come into this space, and in case you have not noticed, our numbers are growing and growing and growing each week, and to God be the glory. And so we want to maintain a level of comfort even as we're having to sit a little closer together and all of those things. The mask will help us to be safe and to help us to have a level of comfort across the board. Amen? Is that all right? And so we'll just keep on going. We need volunteers for the food pantry. And so I'm going to ask Deaconess Flora, will you please stand to your feet just so that they can see who you are? Y'all look around. That is Deaconess Flora Williams. And she leads our food pantry and does an amazing job. And while several other ministries in the church shut down during the pandemic, Shiloh Baptist Church never stopped feeding the hungry, never stopped extending resources and help to those who are in need. But now the soup kitchen, our food pantry, the Lord's kitchen needs volunteers. And so if you have, they especially need a cook. I would volunteer to cook, but people might not volunteer to eat. And so if you are the kind of cook whose food people actually like to eat with proven success, then we really need a cook. And so you can see Deaconess Flora and just we can schedule out and volunteer your time. But it's always good to serve. Even if you're a tither, you should serve. Right? You know, one thing doesn't cancel out the other. Some people say, well, I give to the church. Well, time, talent, and treasure. Y'all remember the G-Life series? Time, talent, and treasure. We also want you to know that our t-shirt sales will relaunch in mid-March. Some of y'all bought them up and then said, Sister Jalen, you got too many small sizes. And so the regular folk sizes sold out, but we will. That was just kind of a test pilot to see. And so we will have them back in mid-March. We received thank you notes from Sister Vivian in Hargrove, Sister Mary Tarver, and Deaconess Flora Williams on the occasion of their grief and loss, and thanking you, Shiloh, for being an amazing church. Can you just pat yourselves on the back if you can reach back there? If your neighbor is struggling to reach their back, you just reach up and tap them on the back for themselves, you know, because we want to make sure everybody gets a good pat. Preachers, pat yourself on the back, because Shiloh, we are amazing at being the church. And every week, there's a thank you note coming because we are absolutely amazing. We also have some praise reports. Sister Phyllis Crank told us that she's excited about Michael Crank, her son, who was promoted to the Director of Events and Technology at AV Concepts. Congratulations to Miss Lakeisha Bray, who was selected by the Sharing Network Foundation Board of Trustees as a new board member. The Peel family sent us a praise report because Shayna and Trey are killing it. They made the honor roll. Shayna's for the year, not just the marking period, her whole year GPA is a 98.7. We also celebrate again Leilani Leeson, who is at Temple University just doing amazing things. She was inducted into the largest honor society. We understand that in the midst of grief, and we know we get all of those notices about grief, we are praying for Deacon Jim Davis and the loss of his brother. And Brother Wendell Woods is worshiping today, and he lost his Aunt Selma, who I feel like is all of our Aunt Selma, because we look forward to seeing what Aunt Selma had on every single Sunday, but he's grieving, and so our prayers are with him and Sister Grace Bowen and Tyrone Harmon, Sister Strassi Smith and Sister Joan Milligan, as well as Brother Larry Winfrey and Sister Pat Fields in the loss of their cousins and second mother. And so we are praying for all of those who are looking this way for prayer. But at the same time, we're celebrating all of the amazing things that are happening in the life of our church. Is that all right? Are y'all excited about this upcoming week? Yeah. Big Shiloh about this upcoming week. I know Sister Carla Beverly stood up. She probably is like, I'm glad the week is coming because it means the week will be over. No. But I want to thank the transition team and all of those, Sister Carla and her entire team that have prepared and planned the pastoral installation and all of the detailed work that has gone into it musically and everything. And so please join us Thursday night. We're going to have communion. And so since we're having communion on Thursday night, we're not going to have communion on Sunday. And so I need y'all to get here Thursday night so that we can commune together. Friday, we will have service, and then Saturday we'll be here bright and early for a 10 a.m. start. You all know that parking is a commodity. It may be even more a commodity come Saturday, and so come on in a little early so that you can get your parking. You don't have to park on the people's grass and double park and do all of those things that will have the Plainfield police. But we know that our own councilwoman Joylette will make sure that they go a little easy on us, right? And Elderman Councilman Good is here today. So y'all will make sure that you let them know that there's something going on at Shiloh. Be lenient with us on Saturday. But we are excited about this moment in the history of this church. I will join officially a long line of pastors. Number 10. We will continue on with a legacy of work that has happened since 1908. Through the Shiloh Baptist Church, and this is a historic moment for all of us, and so it won't be the same without you. Look at your neighbor and say, make sure you're here now. Come on, Shiloh, put your hands together, because it's giving time. It is giving time. And actually, just before we go into our giving, we have a guest here, Sister Sanyu Lukoma. Some of you saw her when you were coming in. Sanyu, are you in here yet? Are you still outside? Come quick, Sanyu, come quick, come quick. I invited Sanyu. I have known Sanyu Lukoma all of her life. And Sanyu is, well, she'll tell you a little bit about herself, but I'll tell you why she's here. But as Sanyu is speaking, if you need an envelope, just raise your hand and our ushers will serve you. Also, we have several electronic giving options. They'll flash those on the screen once again. But it's giving time at Shiloh. But the scripture tells us that as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest will not end. Scripture also tells us to bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. And if you try God on this, that he will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive. Let us give, understanding that God will give back to us. Sanyu, Shiloh, will you give a warm welcome to Sanyu Lukoma?
Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Sanyu Lukoma. I'm 17 years old, and I'm the founder and executive director of a nonprofit organization called Brown Kids Read that I started when I was 13 years old in 2018. I started Brown Kids Read to motivate all children, but especially children of color, to read more diverse literature. So today we have our pop-up and online bookstore called the Brown Reads Bookshelf set up in the back, and all the proceeds go towards supporting our community events and helping schools get their kids more excited about diverse literature. I also recently published my own children's picture book called Subi Sunny Smile. Thank you. In November of 2021, and it's actually based on my younger brother who is 10 years old, but the book is geared towards ages 5 through 9. It holds heavy themes of cultural appreciation, dental hygiene, and most importantly, anti-bullying, which is something I'm very passionate about. So if you're interested in any of that, or if you'd like to pick up a wonderful children's book, you can check it out after service, and I will be so happy to help you find the perfect book for you. Thank you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Pastor has already introduced our offering. I want you to take your offering and put it in your hands. If you've already given, put your hand over your heart and let us pray and ask God's blessing on all that he has blessed us with, but also all that we will bless him. Our Father and our God, again, we say thank you. We say thank you for all the blessings that you have given us, for all of the finances, for all that we have. Now, Lord God, we are going to honor you. We're going to return to you a tenth of all that you have given. We're going to take that and we're going to also give you an offering. We're going to even bless our pastor in a very special way in our love offering. And we're asking you, Lord God, to press it down, shake it together, and make it running over so that it will spill over into all that who need it. And here at the Shiloh Church, that we will be faithful to distribute it in the way that it should go. This is our prayer and our praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let all God's people say amen, amen, and amen. Come on, trustees and those who are receiving our offering, why don't you stand up and let us go and place our offering in the offering basket. Amen.
Everybody say bless, 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 bless. Say it again, bless, say bless, say bless, say bless, say bless, say bless. We're blessed, yes we are.
We're blessed in the seeing.
We're blessed
in the fear.
We're blessed when we come,
when we go.
Stronghold,
sickness and poverty must cease, for the devil is defeated.
Come on, say it again. We're blessed.
We're blessed in the seed.
We're blessed.
We're blessed in the
field. Yeah.
We're blessed when we come.
We cast down every stronghold,
sickness and poverty must cease,
for the devil is defeated. And we are blessed. Listen, everybody say bless, 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 bless. Say it again, bless, 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 bless. We're blessed in the city, yes we are.
We're blessed in the sea.
We're blessed.
We're blessed in the field.
We're blessed.
We're blessed when we come and when we go.
Sickness and poverty must cease, for the devil is defeated.
We are blessed.
Come on, say this. Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around, and he's gonna work in your favor. Everybody say late in.
Late in the midnight hour,
God's gonna turn it around.
He's gonna work in your favor.
Say it again, say it again. God's gonna turn it.
He's gonna work. He's gonna work in your favor.
Say it again if you believe. Say it later.
God's gonna turn it.
It's gonna work.
He's gonna work in your favor.
Say it again. Say it again.
Late in the midnight.
Late in the midnight hour.
God's gonna turn it around.
Good morning. Good morning, Shiloh. Good morning, Francine. That was awesome. Thank you. Thank you. The team of Agers, Slade, and Thompson came together to put together a presentation that would represent every generation that's in this church. We tried to make it entertaining, educational, informative, and it would touch your heart at the same time. And now I'm going to ask Sister Slade to come and give you some background, and Sister Thompson will come and give our thank yous.
So you are about to witness a conversation between five generations of Shiloh members. These generations changed the world. And the changes that they made, many of them were hard, but the easy ones come when there is communication and active listening. And so you're going to be entertained.
And we would like to give thanks to our own Sister Mary Trawick, Josiah Matthew, Brother Jonathan Brinkley, Brother Tyrone Harmon, and Sister Devon Jones. Also to our Sister Wanda Jones and our Generation A, as well as special thanks to Jalen Lynn Lee Holder. Right? And to our Deacon Hand. Thank you.
Josiah Matthews, and I'm a part of Generation Z.
My name is Devon. I'm 28 years old, and I'm a millennial.
I represent the baby boomer generation.
My name is Mary Trawick, and I was born in the generation known as the silent generation.
Hey, hey, hey. Dynamite. My name is Tyrone Harmon. I'm from Generation X.
Some of the characteristics of our generation I would like to describe as adventurous. We like to go around and discover new things without really knowing what we're getting ourselves into. As long as we're okay in our mind, then we love to go out and do whatever we can. Whatever we imagine that we can do, we just love to go out and do. And clueless is another characteristic I would say our generation is. We think we know a lot, but we really don't. You know, that's just our generation. We think we're really smart. And it may get the best of us sometimes. It's just we have to learn a lot.
My generation is the generation, we didn't have computers when the very beginning of my generation, but we did without them. But now we're the same generation that can't live without them. Got our phones and everything. And my generation was cool. The fellas, we knew how to sit in the back, sunroof top, singing in the scene with the gangster lean, ooh, ooh, ooh. And we knew how to talk to the ladies. It was just a generation of respect, and basically that's it. And also education. We also was one of the generations that were able to experience and do things our way and kind of not break away, but break away from our parents' ways of thinking into the more modern.
We believed in positive music. Music was the soundtrack of our lives. We had the Motown sound, the Philly sound, and the cool jazz sound. We had a number of artists that we loved to listen to, from Miles Davis to Nina Simone to John Coltrane, a bunch of folks, even Oscar Brown Jr. Our style, we brought in the afros, we brought in the bell-bottom pants, and Very sexy dress. We also were activists. We had the movements, the civil rights movement of the 60s, the Black Power movement in the 70s. We had leaders like Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. And in the West Coast, we had Ron Karenga. And the East Coast, we had Mary Baraka. We had an identity issue. We didn't know where we were, colored Negroes. We finally decided we were Black, that we were proud. We also saw the rise of the African leaders and independence, and we became Pan-Africanists. We had relatives who had participated in World War II and the Korean War, but we were against the war. We protested the Vietnam War.
In my early years, I grew up in a rural area where my father worked on farms for meager wages. We moved a lot. In my first school experience, I went to a three-room school that had three teachers. One was kindergarten through third grade, the other was fourth and fifth grade, and the principal taught sixth and seventh grade. And then we moved to the city from Smithfield, Virginia to Newport News, and the schools were better there. There was a teacher for every grade level. And my father worked in the shipyard, but from the shipyard he was drafted into World War II. And many women took the jobs that men had had before they were gone off, when they went off to war. And they took jobs in the shipyard and factories, making ammunition and guns and other war products. And they were known as Rosie the Riveter. Many things were rationed during the war, such as automobiles, gas, tires, fuel oil, shoes, and even nylon stockings. We had to have ration books for food, for certain food items.
Some of the characteristics that I would describe for my generation, we're very outspoken, we're very passion-driven. I would say they were also very unique, and I think that we introduce different ideas than the ideas of our parents. You know, we tend to be less traditional, but less traditional doesn't mean that it's bad, it's just different. And it's in a way, we do things in a way that are relevant to us during this time period.
In your godly heritage, one person that I would pass on, or if I had to pass a godly heritage to my children, it would be who you are. As long as you're true to yourself, you will always be accepted.
And the church and my faith in Jesus Christ has always been vital in my life. And this was passed down to my children who attended church and Sunday school and were very active in Shiloh. And they pass this legacy down to their children.
I talk to my children about respect. Respect themselves and respect others. Look for the best in yourself, look for the best in others, and enhance that. If this way you can grow on a positive, in a positive way.
One legacy that I want to pass on to my children and even my nephews is to introduce devotions to them when they're young. That's something that my aunt did for me when I was younger. She always did a meditation with our daily bread, and she would invite me to join her, and she would ask me what I thought about what we would read or even the scripture that was associated with it, and just introducing God in a way that makes it relevant to our everyday life and, you know, seeing God as regular people instead of just like, this is God and this is how we have to do things and this, you know, just making it real easy.
When I was growing up, there was a time when my parents made me go to church. No matter how tired I was, I laid the whole suck the teeth. Oh, Mom, we gotta go. Yes. And I got up and I went. But I thank God for that, because in the time period when I got old enough to be away from my parents and myself, the thing about this generation that I thank God for, that I know that God is good. If she didn't do that, it wouldn't have instilled in me to come back to the church in a time where I had problems and issues in my personal life.
In the deliverance of generations to come, our generation can participate by talking to each other more. As long as we get to know each other and participate in community-wise, talking to each other, listening to each other, because we talk, but we don't really listen. And I feel like that's the big gap between our generation and other generations.
I think that we can participate in the deliverance of generations to come by continuing to push the envelope with new ideas and holding and creating space for those ideas to coexist together and just, you know, being more forward-thinking and open-minded as well.
God is equally concerned about all generations. One generation should honor the works of another. And hopefully, my generation will have a positive impact on generations to come when they realize the groundwork and the sacrifices that were made hoping for a better future for them. All generations face different challenges. We had many commonalities. And hopefully we can share wisdom and love without judgment. And that we can share our differences of opinion without being critical. And we can all learn from one another. So young people, when grandma and grandpa and other seasoned citizens ask for help and using their cell phones, computers, and other electronic devices, be patient with us because this is a whole new world for us. But we're learning slowly but surely.
We have to have the strength and the power and put the same energy we put into different things, social media, things like how we look, things like everything, the cars and all that. Take that same energy and put it into God, and let's not be lazy with it. I think we lack sometimes, and to be honest, I gotta be fair, we lack that same get-go when it comes to spiritual thoughts and needs, and I wish we did that more. I, for one, after this interview, I'm going to do that. Generation X.
We need to work together. We have the wisdom, they have the energy. So wisdom and energy, we can work together to achieve a lot.
We are Shiloh, a multi-generational church. And as you may have heard, every generation seems to have their own persona with distinct attitudes about family life, politics, gender roles, lifestyles, institutions, and the future. Each generation's worldview has been shaped by their experiences, and those experiences have affected the group's direction throughout their lives. Recognizing and understanding each person's differences will allow us the opportunity to be effective instruments of God. From generation to generation, we will honor and recognize the heritage and legacy that we have. Intergenerational interaction will help us as we face the challenges of the future. I am Wanda Jones Hill, a member of Shiloh, where Jesus is Lord and people are loved.
Amen. Come on, let's give God praise. Shiloh is a great church. Come on, if you believe that Shiloh is a great church with an incredible leader, let's thank God for this vessel and her vision. Hallelujah. We thank God on today. Gospel music plays an important role in all that we do in Black history. And I am so grateful to Pastor Brown for allowing us to put together music that touches all generations. So on today, we're going to ask you to journey with us as we explore some gospel music on today. Some of it you may know, some of it you may not know, but that's what it's about. It's about bringing the generations together. So we want you to join us as well as worship with us as we journey through gospel music.
Thank you. soon I will be done with the troubles of the world. The troubles of the world. Ooh. The troubles of the world. Soon I will be done with the troubles of the world. Gone home to live with my Lord. No more weeping and wailing, there'll be no more weeping and wailing, there'll be no more weeping and wailing. 'Cause I'm going, I'm going home to be with my Lord.
Lord, do it. Lord, do it for me. For this worship experience. We thank you for every prayer that has been prayed, for every song that has been sung. We thank you, Lord God, for the person who is seated to our right and to our left, in front of us and behind us, for the saints that have gathered virtually to worship today. And now, God, we come to this preaching moment, and I ask that you would sanctify it, that you would make it your own, that you wouldn't allow any of these, your precious people, to suffer because of the humanity of this preacher. But Lord, will you stand up in me, to the end that from this sacred desk to the door and wherever this broadcast may land, your people are edified, they are encouraged, they're empowered and excited to run on and do your work in ways that will turn this world upside down. And not for any glory of our own, but only for the glory of the one who is, the one who was and who will always be. And his name is Jesus. And it's in that name that we pray and that all God's people say, amen. 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 Put your hands together as you take your seats. Wow. 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 Listen, I keep trying to tell y'all that Shiloh is the place to be. Not just because it's nice in here, but God is moving. Do you feel the presence? I mean, do you really feel the presence of the Lord in this place? Can we celebrate Sister Francine Miller? Can we celebrate Sister Tina Marshall and all of these singers, this entire choir, Brother Vincent Walker, Brother Wendell, the band. Come on, just put your hands together for all of them. I mean, all of them, the dancers, Sister Agers and Deaconess Thompson and Sister Slade and all of those, the video. What can we say about Mother Mary Trawick, Deaconess Mary Trawick? Did y'all hear the wisdom that she shared with us in that video? And Sister Elise Lee Holder and her editing work, and Deacon Charles Hand and his photography. I really like this church. I really, really like this church. So if you have your Bibles, let's go to the Gospel according to Mark, the 9th chapter. And I'll read in your hearing verses 28 through 29. Stick with me. We still have a baby to dedicate. The family asked that we move it later in the service so that everyone could get here. So Mark the 9th chapter, verses 28 through 29. The word of the Lord reads this way. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" So he said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Can I tell you a little story? It's a story about when I was in high school. In high school, I played basketball. Perth Amboy High School, Perth Amboy Recreation Department, Perth Amboy Summer League, and for an AAU team that was based out of Piscataway called the New Jersey Demons. Don't get nervous. I literally played all year round, Reverend Thorpe. If I wasn't competing on a team, my dad was giving me private skill lessons, or I was playing with the boys over at the Delaney Rec or on the waterfront in Perth Amboy. And I guess one could say that I was a pretty good ball player, good enough to play on a travel AAU team and good enough to be recruited and good enough to get a college scholarship. So after high school, when I arrived at Virginia State University, there were some accomplishments under my belt. I had excelled on the high school level, and I was one of those that made it. But then, Deacon Hand, there was preseason. And there was Coach Peggy Davis. There was a workout regimen that she mailed to me the May prior that I followed to a T. And yes, I could do 4 sets of 25 sit-ups, but the paper never said that I had to do them in 60 seconds. Yeah, I could do 4 sets of 25 leg lifts, but nobody mentioned that there'd be a 6'1" girl from Wyandanch, New York named Princess throwing my legs back toward the ground every time I lifted them. Yeah, I could run 5 50-meter dashes and 4 100s and 2 200s and 1 400, but they did not mention I'd be doing it on the gravel and rocks around the football field. I could run 2 miles. But nobody told me, Wes, that I would have to do it in under 16 minutes and at 5:15 a.m., even when the winter months came. So this one day I decided to call home and told my daddy that my coach was crazy and that every inch of my body and even my internal organs were sore and that I did not want to play basketball anymore. See, this wasn't high school anymore. This was college, and in college, at this level, the stakes were a little higher. The competition was much better, the expectations were far greater, and the investment that Virginia State University was making in my education required much more out of me. See, friends, what can get us by and what is adequate preparation and conduct on one level may not be sufficient on the next. You know, that day, my daddy listened to me cry and complain and give my account of what was happening and then politely ended the call saying, "Danielle, I love you, but this is another level. The pressure is on and you're just gonna have to get your game up. Today, I'm just gonna talk to you for a few moments from the topic, get your game up." See, in Mark, the 9th chapter, it opens with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Maybe you've heard the story of how after 6 days over in Caesarea Philippi, he took Peter, James, and John up on a mountain apart by themselves, and his clothes became shiny and whiter than any launderer could have ever gotten them to be. And Elijah and Moses appear up there with him, and his boys don't know what to say because what they saw made them afraid. And then on their way down the mountain, Jesus tells them, "Don't tell anybody about what you saw." Reverend Slade, he tells them, "Keep it to themselves." And so they kept it to themselves. But on the heels of this wonderful experience on the mountain, Jesus comes down and identifies, somebody say identify. He identifies that there is a problem. His disciples are in a bit of a pickle with the Pharisees. The Pharisees are sworn enemies of Jesus. And to the disciples, I mean, every single chance that they got, they would challenge them and antagonize them and give them a hard time. They're surrounded now, though, by a multitude of onlookers having an argument about something. And the people in the crowd see Jesus coming and they come running to greet him. Now, I don't know if they were running as a result of relief that someone who has the power to put an end to whatever is happening is finally coming. I don't know if they were running to be the first to tell him that his beloved disciples had failed, or if they were running because he was still glowing from what happened on the mountain and they just could not help but be drawn to him. But what jumps out to me in this text is that fresh from this transformative experience was the manner in which Jesus responds to what he identifies as a problem. And if we're really going to turn this world upside down, if we are going to engage victoriously in both this season and the next seasons of our lives and serving God and stand boldly in the face of opposition and fulfill the work of God, if we are going to be true worshipers and those who turn worship into conduct and worship into transformation and worship into impact, Jesus' response here is worth taking a look at. It's worth embracing as a model for how to handle our situations responsibly. So say these three words after me, and those of you online, type it in the comments: inquire, inform, and intervene. Notice that Jesus asks the scribes, what are you discussing with them? And Jesus does not make an assumption and respond to the issue before him based on some emotional instinct. He does not respond impulsively to what he sees based on some situation from another time and space that looked familiar to what he saw today, but he simply inquires. How many of you know that the best way to know something is to inquire? Far too often, we're guilty of impulsive and emotional responses to life situations, men and women alike. I know, brothers, y'all like to say that we're emotional, but y'all do it too. Find a man and just wink at him. Y'all do it too. Right. But the problem with this impulse and emotion is that they are limited in their knowledge. And because they're limited in their knowledge, they can end up causing us to look real bad at the end of the day when our responses are based solely upon them. And so Jesus inquires. He doesn't proceed based on assumption concerning what is going on, but Jesus inquires. Jesus very simply asks the question. There is no trouble with asking. And of course, the Pharisees have nothing to say. Of course, the disciples have nothing to say, but a man emerges from the midst of the crowd and says, "Teacher, what had happened was, I brought my son who has a mute spirit to you. It throws him around. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and he becomes rigid. And so I spoke to your disciples in hopes that they would cast it out, but they could not." I said, "Say what?" Jesus' response is this: "Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." See, now that Jesus has the story, Jesus rebukes Sister Sharon, everybody. See, that statement, "Oh, faithless generation," was for the disciples for not being at a place where they could handle this matter, but it was also for the Pharisees for enjoying and glorying in their failure to handle it. So they bring the boy to Jesus, and when he sees them, that spirit in him manifests, and now Jesus has proof. Somebody say proof. Now Jesus has proof to back up the story the man told him. Notice that Jesus does not respond to the fact that the spirit is manifesting right in front of him. Jesus does not respond to the challenge that the spirit is presenting, because remember this, it already made a fool of his disciples, and now here it is with the boldness to manifest itself right in the face of Jesus. But Jesus takes his time with this. Jesus has no point to prove. He takes his time, because when he's done dealing with this, the job will be thorough. He doesn't trip. He doesn't respond emotionally and impulsively to prove to onlookers or to the spirit that he has power. And when you have power, and when you know that you have power, you're not easily intimidated. See, pressure and the impression of the crowd will not move you, and you don't mind taking a little extra time to make sure that the job is done right, because you won't be pushed to prove a point that's not worth proving. And so Jesus inquires. And he says, "How long has this been going on?" And because Jesus was responsible enough to inquire, he now knows what's going on and the severity of the situation before him. And this was not a new problem. Jesus now knows this, it was an old problem, that it's been happening to him since his childhood. This demon was trying to destroy him, throwing him into the fire and into the water. And then the table turns, and the father of the boy makes an inquiry of his own. And I'm not mad at him, but the father says, "Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Sidebar, I want you to note, Reverend Slade, that the father has already been disappointed by those who represent Jesus. He's already been disappointed by those who cast out and heal in his name, yet that does not impact the fact that he still thinks that Jesus can do something. Be very careful in all of your responses, that no matter what those who represent Jesus from the pulpit to the door do in this life, if they come through, if they succeed, if they fail, if they hurt you, if they fall, whatever they do, don't you let people negatively impact the way that you see Jesus, because after all is said and done and not done, he is still God, and in every day, every season of your life, you need Jesus. And by the same token, my brothers and sisters, there's nothing worse than needing transformation from Jesus and Jesus' own people turn you off from a place where you can get it and from believing it is possible. And so, based on the result of his inquiry, Jesus now informs. I said inquiry. Jesus now informs. And this little piece of information that Jesus shares tells us that the rebuke was not just for the disciples. It was not just for the Pharisees, but it was also for the people who knew this boy all of his life. They knew he had a problem. They knew the spirit was getting the best of him, but did not have faith to believe that he could be healed. Jesus informs the father and the crowd. If you can believe, then all things are possible to him who believes. He informs him of the very ingredient needed to turn this situation around, and here's what it is: belief. If you can believe, what does any of this have to do with worship, Pastor Brown? I thought that we were in a sermon series on worship. Well, worship isn't just vertical between us and God, but when true worshipers worship, we are transformed. When we are transformed, we then have a witness. So worship also involves the way that we present in the world. And in this season right now, we must have our finger on the pulse of things that we have accepted as just the way it is. We know that they're wrong, and we know they're not right and not beneficial to the kingdom of God, but we've embraced them as just the way it is. And it's those very things that will begin, if they have not already, begin to present a conflict for us. The reason why what was your accepted norm is now presenting a conflict for you is because you are in right now and on your way to a new season. And over there, over here, that dysfunction from your old one is not invited. And when you worship in spirit and in truth, there is no way that you cannot be changed. When you worship in spirit and truth and worship for real, with your whole heart and with your mind and with your soul, you care about how other people experience you. In order for some things to change, Jesus, I pray that every one of us in this place and that those online also understand that the dysfunction that we have come to love and accept will become so uncomfortable that we'll cry out for change. When you're a true worshiper, you can't authentically spend time in the presence of God and remain the same. It just does not work that way. But in order for some things to change, Jesus informs us that we must first believe it can change. If you want to do better, you've got to believe that better is a possibility. If you want to be healed, you have to believe that healing is a possibility. If you want your children saved, you got to believe that they can be saved. If you want your marriage back, your job situation to get better, you want a salary increase, you've got to first believe that it can be so. If you want to stop falling into the same traps and patterns and walk a little more closely with Jesus, you've got to first believe that it is possible. And equipped with this piece of information, the father cries out, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Lord, with what is in me, I believe, but if there's any bit of unbelief that is detected inside me, goes undetected on my radar, will you please help me? Will you apply your grace to those places? Will you apply your grace to any part of me that does not believe that you can and will do what I know that you can and what your word says that you've promised you will do? And when the father cries out, my Lord, here comes the crowd again. See, there's always something about a crowd. They're always trying to see something. The crowd who had already watched the disciples fail in Jesus' name comes now to see if this spirit will get the best of Jesus too. And now, based on the results of his inquiry concerning the situation, Jesus informs them of what was necessary. And finally, Jesus intervenes. Jesus won't keep the crowd in suspense any longer. He won't keep the boy suffering any longer. He won't keep the father begging for compassion any longer. He speaks to the unclean spirit and says, deaf and dumb spirit, he calls it what it is, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out of him and into him no more. And the spirit cries out and convulses him greatly and comes out. And the Bible says that the boy became like one dead. Let me suggest to you that sometimes we've been controlled by a thing for so long that the absence of that thing now has us forgetting how to function on our own. What do I mean? I mean, you've been a victim for so long, been manipulative so long, now that you can't be that anymore. You don't know how to function. You've been angry for so long, it justified all of your actions and all of your responses. But now that anger is no longer with you, now that you can no longer function in that way, you don't know how to be. You've been on drugs, street and prescription, for so long helping you to take the edge off, thinking that it was helping you to cope with life. All the while, it was further debilitating you. And now that we no longer have them, matter of fact, you've been with Bubba so long that even though it was a bad and abusive relationship, it controlled your responses and your actions, what you did and did not do, what you could and could not do. And now that God has delivered you from it, you're numb and you're not sure how to function without it. But I'm so glad that when Jesus intervenes, that he will not leave us laying there looking dead. But when Jesus intervenes and does a thing, he does it well. And when Jesus intervenes, he will stick with it until the full course is done. When Jesus intervenes and decides to set free, it does not matter who, it does not matter what, it does not matter when or where, we are free indeed. And when Jesus intervenes, there are no half-done jobs. Somebody say, God, I thank you that you didn't do the job in me halfway, but he who has begun a work is faithful to complete it. Somebody shout, yeah. He's excellent in his intervention. And so the boy becomes like one dead, but Jesus intervenes again and takes him by the hand and lifts him up, and he arises. See, every believer is called to participate in the work of Jesus Christ. We are his witnesses here in the earth, and everything that we do is an act of worship. But if we're going to really turn this world upside down, if we're going to, really turn this world upside down, if we are going to engage victoriously in this season of serving God here in the earth and stand boldly in the face of opposition and be agents of transformation and deliverance and healing in the lives of those that we encounter, it is important that we approach matters using the model that the gospel writer presents with us with today. We've got to inquire. We've got to inform. And then intervene. But before I dispatch you today, before we dedicate Aubrey May, I want to give you this one last piece. I guess Jesus made this deliverance look a little easy. Because a little while later, when they get back into the house, the disciples come to ask and privately talk to him and say, why couldn't we cast it out? And Jesus' response is this: this kind can go out by nothing but prayer and fasting. See, when I first got up, Christina, I told y'all a little story about basketball. I told you that my dad gave me a pep talk, and I told you that basically he told me that quitting was not an option for me, which meant that whether my bones and joints and ligaments were sore or not, I was going to be on that basketball court. And his advice to me was, get your game up. Well, it's the same thing in our service to God. There is no quitting on God. You can't hide from God. You can't turn from God. You can try to wrestle with God, but I would strongly advise against it. Your arms are too short to box with him. So reconcile in your mind today that if you are going to serve God willingly and get your game up. But see, the thing about my basketball experience that I did not tell you was that when I got to high school as a freshman and made the varsity team, I knew from the beginning that there was only 4 years allotted to play high school basketball. High school basketball would not last forever. And if I was going to continue to play, Johnny, beyond those 4 years, that meant playing college basketball. But in order to be effective at the college level, I would have to get my game up. What am I saying? I'm saying that where you were yesterday is not where you are today. And where you are today is not where you will be tomorrow. The world has changed. The church has changed. People have changed. And in order for you to effectively engage in this season, the pressure is on, and you cannot approach now the same way you approached the last season. And so, my brothers and my sisters, you will need to get your game up. And so Jesus tells the disciples, the reason why you were not able to do it is because this kind only comes out by fasting and prayer. prayer? Did you hear the words that came out of my mouth? Did you hear the words that were written in scripture? Jesus essentially says you've got to do better at some aspects of worship. What are those aspects? You got to do better at prayer and fasting. Jesus essentially tells them to get your game up. And this discourse was not about what they were experiencing right now, but it was about where they were going to be. The next conversation that Jesus has with them, he's reminding them that he's going to be betrayed. He's reminding them that he is going to die, but he will rise again. Jesus is predicting his departure from them, and the day would come when there would not be, he would not be there to rescue them like they did on this particular day. And so they'd have to be able to stand on their own two feet. But in order for them to do what he needed them to do in his absence, they needed to get their game up. Here, the situation right in front of them, the father brings the boy to the ones that represent Jesus, hoping that they would have some degree of power based on their association, but they can't do it because although their season changed, their preparation hadn't. In this season, they were no longer spectators. Like when they watched Jesus cast out the first unclean spirit in Capernaum. Like when they saw him heal Peter's mother-in-law. In this next season, they would no longer be spectators. Like when the many were healed after the Sabbath sunset. They would no longer be spectators. Like when the four friends dropped their friend through the roof and Jesus healed him. But now they're on the brink of another season. They're on the brink of a new day. And over in Mark 2 is what Jesus refers to when he's asked, why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples don't? If you were in Bible study, we covered this the other day. Y'all should come to Bible study. You don't even have to go far, just to your phone. But Jesus said, well, can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? And no, the answer is no, but the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away, and then they will fast in those days, and those days were upon them. And this kind can only come out through fasting and prayer. And so essentially the message to the disciples and the message to you all today is this: get your game up. Shiloh and friends, I want to encourage you to get your game up. You have been delivered to a new season in your service to God, but there is so much more that God desires to do in and through and around you, but you've got to get your game up. And you might be saying, well, Pastor Brown, how do I get my game up? Well, you fast and you pray. You discipline your body, discipline that mouth, discipline your surroundings, discipline your emotions and impulses. This is worship, humankind's response to who God is. Practice Jesus' model for dealing with situations. Identify the problem, inquire and form, and then intervene should God say so. Get your game up by no longer being comfortable with part-time holiness. Get your game up by changing your surroundings and get on the court with some people who are much better than you. Get on the court with some people who are working on their game too. Get your game up. Stop complaining and don't be afraid to come back to the master and say, how come this didn't work out? Master, how come I couldn't do what you do? Master, how come I failed? And how can I do better next time? My brothers and my sisters, I want to encourage you to get your game up and celebrate the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get your game up and tell God thank you in advance for every plan that he has for you and for the fact that those plans are good and for you to prosper and for you to be in health. Get your game up, because by virtue of the fact that you're in here today, it means that God wants to use you to transform the world. But you've got to get your game up. Is there anybody in today. I'm gonna get my game up. I'm gonna fast a little more often. I'm gonna pray a little harder. I'm gonna serve a little more. I'm gonna get my game up. So when I see the sick, I will help them recover. When I encounter the broken and the bruised and the possessed and the hurting, I have enough God in me to make a difference, to speak healing and see it happen, to declare wholeness and be so. I'm not in this world just to be in this world, but I'm gonna get my game up so I can change this world. I'm gonna get my game up so I can bear witness to the power of this gospel. I'm gonna get my game up so I can have the victory in this season and the next season, on my job, in my house, in my church, in my relationships. Is there anybody in here who does not mind throwing your hands in the air, wave them like you just don't care, and say, I am going to get my game up? Because there's some social and institutional ills that I've got to have the power to destroy. I'm gonna get my game up. Because there's some generational demons that must go. I'm going to get my game up, because I'll be doggone if the enemy is going to make a fool out of me. My mind is made up. I'm on my way up. I'm going to hold my head up. I'm going on with the Lord. If that's your testimony, I'm going on with the Lord. I'm going to get my game up. Shout yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm gonna get my game up. I'm gonna get my game up. So what does that mean? I can't do things like I did them in the last season. If I keep doing the same old thing, I'm gonna get the same old results. And I'm tired of those results. Tired of being disappointed. Even Mary J has sense enough to say, no more drama. Tired of the drama, tired of chaos and confusion, tired of not having all that God desires for me to have, and so I got to do things differently. Come on, y'all, stand up all over the building. It's time to go. If you're here today and you're saying, you know what, that's me, I got to get my game up. Step one is giving your life to Jesus. Yeah. And so if you're here today and you're saying, I don't have a saving relationship with Jesus, I really just came to church because y'all were wearing some colors. And I was in town and my mama said, if you're going to stay at my house for free, you gotta go to church. But you've heard this worship, you've seen this intergenerational experience, and you're saying, you know what, I wanna give my life to that God. If that's you, would you come now? Would you step out in the aisle and come to Jesus? These leaders are amazing, they're kind. They'll come and meet you. If you just raise your hand, they'll walk with you. But if you wanna give your life to Jesus this morning, this is your opportunity. And then here's the second call. If you're here today and you don't have a church home, I believe that every believer needs a church home. You can be a Christian and not go to church, but you can't be a growing Christian. Anything that is not growing is dying. And I promise you, Shiloh is an amazing place to come and grow. We're not perfect, but that's what gives us flavor. Right? You don't want to eat chicken that only has its own grease. You need a little paprika. I'm not going to say salt because y'all go too far. Pepper, right? You need some other things mixed in. And then we all work together and get this flavor. You can bring all of yourself and still have a place here at the Shiloh Baptist Church. Fit in. And so if you're here today and you're saying, you know what, I want a church home. The heart of this church is open. Would you come and join the Shiloh Baptist Church? Would you just step out in the aisle and come? And then here is the next call. That if you're here, Lord Jesus. Come on, is there one? Another? Man, woman, boy, girl? You want to join the Shiloh Baptist Church? This is a great church to be a part of. And we are growing. And we are growing. And then I always say this, that maybe the walk makes you a little nervous, but you see these leaders. You can come to any one of us after the service and talk to us, and we'll take you through the same process. It's okay, because your transformation is more important to us than our traditions. Those of you that are online, we haven't left you out. Just go ahead and say it in the comments. I want to be saved, and someone will minister to you. Our ministers are right in real time serving you in virtual space. But don't let this day, don't let this moment, don't ignore what God is saying to you in this moment about connecting with the Lord's church. Don't miss this moment. Shiloh family, can you just look at the person next to you and say, how about you? Are you a member? Or are you just shacking with us? You just keep coming. It's all right. You shacking with us, or you on the roll? It's all right. We take all kinds. You can keep coming, but just ask them. But it's all good. Come on, Shiloh family. Put your hands together. Our new member team is coming. They'll lead. Minister Lucky, let's lead them out. And now I'm going to ask, please be seated. Will the family of Aubrey May Allen please come? Come on. Baby dedication. God, I think, come on, just throw your hands in the air and just worship. Come on, stretch your hands toward heaven and just worship the Lord. Yes, please.
Hallelujah.
One of the most amazing moments or in the life of a church, I put this mask up. You know it's hard to breathe after you preach that like that. Reverend Thorpe, don't strangle me. I'll just step back. But one of the most amazing moments in the life of a church is the dedication of babies. There's the baptism of new believers and the dedication of babies that indicate to us that God is not finished with us yet. Right? Because God keeps sending new life. God keeps sending new converts, new members into the church. And it means that there's still work to be done. Hey, you. And so today is one of those moments. children are inheritance from the Lord. Scripture tells us that the one whose quiver is full of them is blessed. Scripture also says that children are like arrows. What does that mean? It means that our children should always go further than we ever can. And so we raise our children in such a way to prepare them for that. And so the best thing that as parents you can do is raise a child in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Scripture says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they get old, they won't depart from it. Do I have any old witnesses? And so today we come to dedicate this baby girl. Tiara, I'm going to ask if you all would turn and face the congregation. Congregation, would you please stand? Because in our tradition, while we don't baptize babies, because we believe in the believer's baptism, that you come of the age where you can confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus. But this moment also indicates really an initiation of sorts, that Aubrey is now part of the Christian community. And as the Shiloh Baptist Church, we get to be a part of her village. And so Shiloh, do you commit to being a safe village for Aubrey? Shiloh, do you commit to being a people that Aubrey can grow and just be a part and flourish in? Do you commit to being a village that will help support her parents in the raising of her? That's good. Now, Tiara, Dad, tell me your first name. Antonio, do you commit to raising Aubrey in the fear and the admonition of the Lord? Do you commit to raising her in the midst of Christian community? All right, turn back. Y'all sit down. This is important because this moment is not a good luck charm.
Teach.
Aubrey will be as great as you two set her up to be. Children see and feel more than we think. Guard her. Honor and respect one another. For Aubrey's sake. Y'all hear me? Because if you don't, I love Aubrey, I'll kill you both. God, in the name of Jesus, we anoint this baby. Lord, we anoint her mind that you would help learning come easy, that she would set her mind and affections upon you even at an early age. We anoint her eyes that you would protect her innocence, that, Lord God, she would see herself through your eyes, but she wouldn't see anything a day before you intend for her to see it. We anoint her ears that she would hear you and obey you even at an early age. We anoint her mouth that, Lord God, she would have the ability to speak life, that she'll never be afraid of her own voice, that, Lord God, you give her courage and boldness. We anoint her hands that you would give her the ability to heal and to create wealth. We anoint her feet that she would follow your footsteps all the days of her life. God, on this baby, we anoint her entire body from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet, and we declare healing and wholeness. No weapon formed against her shall prosper. Any tongue that rises up against her in judgment, she will condemn. We pray now that, Lord God, every generational thing that would come to attack her, that you'll raise up your standard against it. We pray for this mother, that, Lord God, you would give her the grace and give her the strength to do what she needs to do. We pray for this father, Lord God, that you would give him the grace and the strength to do what he needs to do, and the wisdom, Lord God, to guide this baby. We thank you for them and for this family, grandparents and godparents joining us on FaceTime. And God, we pray that your glory would be revealed in, through, and among them, and that all things shall be well. Tiara, will you name your baby?
Aubrey Mae Allen. dedicate this baby back to you. I dedicate this baby.
This is her mother's christening gown that she's got on. Come on, Shiloh family, let's celebrate baby Aubrey. I don't know, Reverend Thorpe, she's looking for your job.
You have a word for us, Aubrey?
She thinks it's a bottle. Feed the baby. God bless you. And we have a gift bag, a certificate of dedication. In the bag is a little cookie for Aubrey, a Bible, and a onesie that says Shiloh Kid. So come on, family, put your hands together and bless the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Come on, Shiloh family, let's stand to our feet. And now may the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, rest, rule, and abide with all of you now, henceforth, and forevermore. And may Almighty God bless all of you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go in peace and serve the Lord with gladness. Shiloh members, please remain in the sanctuary for our end of year church meeting. We'll transition right into that. And those who are not members, we'd love to have you. Had you joined today, you could stay for the meeting, but since you didn't, you'll have to wait till the next one. But we're transition in. Praise the Lord and God bless you all. Sing it, Josiah.
Show that you.